So good, Jenny. Yep. G'day, Kerry, how are you going? I just thought I'd wait till some people come up before I start talking. Oh, hello, Jenny. Kerry, Kelly, Dee. Oh, good, there's a few coming up, that's great. Okay, everybody, tonight, the subject, which is a subject I come across quite a lot when I'm doing clinics, is, well, I guess the way people come across with their horses, they say, you know, I sent my horse to the trainer or got it back from the, you know, the person who started my horse, and my horse is lazy and it needs spurs. Common scenario, I hear that story quite a lot. And the subject tonight is lack of energy, laziness, sticks, spurs, impulsion, do they help? And how to gain confidence through responsibility and connection. Okay, so now it's a hard subject because I'll just say Jenny, who's just come on board, there's a horse with Jenny that I've been working with, and that horse, it didn't get the fair chance when it was sort of young and started, so it may have been able to gain a lot of confidence and responsibility and confidence in itself and the person's ideas, but in the past it was probably hammered a bit too hard, shut down, and then became sort of, you know, aggressive and lazy, or potentially what you would think was lazy, which wasn't lazy, was just not interested. Because when you see her horse ride out on trail and actually start switching his ears forward, he really travels along and doesn't mind it. But because he got hammered so much and his ideas were taken off him, he seems very lazy. So we might start at the start of the subject, I suppose, when horses are started and what we feel and what we go through when they're started, because there are a lot of horses I come across at clinics. So you get, I guess when I first ever started doing clinics, I guess I got people who came to my clinics, or actually even back to sort of, you know, I guess don't quote me on this, but I guess my first, what I call would be a proper clinic, might have been 8 years ago. And I just thought I was going to go out there and teach people about how to help their crazy horses. I know that sounds a bit funny, but I just thought people come with all these issues with their horses and I'm going to help them with it. Now, I didn't come across these issues so much because I was always starting and re-educating. Now I've got re-educating horses that I guess were shut down and, you know, so-called lazy. I tended to just sort of work them and get them going. And I did a lot of riding out in Glenelg. I used to ride them out all the time. So they were always out of the yards. Like I spent, you know, nearly 15 years. I came to Mudgee 3.5 years ago, and I trying to work out how long I was sort of so-called professional, I suppose, in Glenelg. So, you know, I was there for sort of 13 years, I suppose. And I had a round yard and a round yard, and that was the round yard. And I had some yards that I used to draft the horses up in and get them in each day for work. And so I had that slightly bigger yard that I could ride them in, but it was concrete, you know, not concrete, but it sort of dried out like concrete. It wasn't an arena with sand or anything, but I used to ride them in the round yard, ride them out there and ride out. So I maybe took for granted, I was riding all the horses out all the time, out. So they were looking at stuff all the time. So the whole idea of a horse just sort of not having something to look at and have some sense of purpose sort of disappeared a little bit, because they had such an, you know, they weren't in the arena, they just got straight out and away we went. So they were looking at things all the time. So even the horses that were lazy, they sort of, you know, got out and they went, oh, wow, there's a lot to look at, please, you know, and so all I had to get them to do was get a bit better in their transition, but their thoughts were always sort of bouncing off all the things in their focus all the time because of all the sort of terrain that I used to sort of take them on and things like that. And then when I did sort of clinics about 8 years ago, I started to come across something, you know, I didn't realise I'd be helping horses. I didn't realise I'd be helping people with all these sort of obedient shutdown horses and things like that. I guess I just thought I'd be helping people sort of, you know, get better around their horses. And they'd be having problems because their horses are heavy or they're running over the top of them or this, that and the other. But it really opened my eyes of all the horses out there that are sort of obedient and shut down, but still sort of lacking pulsion and things like that, because their will to try got taken away from them too early, I guess, if that's just probably what I'd say, their will to try. So anyway, I'm going to get way off track, just going back into my mind and memory banks, as I sometimes do. So what I'm going to talk about is laziness or confidence to start with. So there's many horses that I ride that you've got to sit on and just sit on and walk on them. And when they've relaxed walking and their thoughts are going forward walking and they're confident, they feel good walking, then they might trot. And then they might do that at the trot and then they might eventually canter. But some of those horses, it might take days to get them to walk. And you know, in the early days of starting horses, I used to hurry them up a bit. You know, I'd have a coil of a rope and I'd sort of, you know, bump them up a bit and get them going and sort of think, you know, you're riding around the round, yeah, we're all going well. And then when I got some really tough horses, you know, the ones that really just freeze, the really nervous horses that, you know, they work them and they put so much focus on you that they're just sort of stuck on you. They don't want to go forward because you're behind them, their head's in front of you, you're behind them, you're kicking them back here, and all it's doing is bringing their thoughts back, and so you can't get them to go forward because they're so, you know, quite sensory and they're sort of, all their attention's on us. So to get them to go forward can be quite difficult. So hunting them, chasing them, and if you got them to go forward too fast when they weren't ready, then they might blow up because they just start running and go, oh, crap, now I'm in a panic because I haven't had the time to just learn to go forward. So those horses, you had to just sit on each day and just let them try a little bit harder each day, let them try a little bit harder each day. So I'd be sitting on them and I'd ask for a little bit of movement and the movement might go backwards. I don't care, it's going backwards fine. It's energy, energy's energy. I don't care which direction it goes in, I just ask for energy. And eventually, after walking backwards for a while, they might sort of take a step forward, and then you sort of just sit on them and, you know, ask for a bit more energy, and they take a step forward. And then what you're looking and feeling for inevitably is the horse just moving forward without you having to keep asking them to move forward. So every time they stop, you might just say, can I have some movement, please? And they move. And but if you're not happy with that movement, generally what happens, you start to chase them along a bit early and your legs start to interrupt them all the time. And then you end up thinking they're heavy in the ribs and they're heavy, you know, and they just don't want to move forward. So you start getting in the habit of sort of moving them along and moving them along. And then you think, oh, they're a bit heavy. They're pretty dull. I can crack a whip. I can throw a few tar, you know, drives bone over them and everything. And, oh, well, I'll just put the spurs on them. Easy, you know, just help them along with that. So you put the spurs on them and you, next minute you're sort of riding them out in the paddock and your spurs are close to them. And every time they sort of suck back or think suck back, you just put the spurs on them. And while you got the spurs on, no worries at all. You know, you think you've got them going good. Until you sort of, you know, take your legs off and you're just sort of cruising along and they're just still frozen. And then all of a sudden a kangaroo jumps out and they fry it and they spin around and you sort of wonder why it all happens. But you probably kept their thoughts on you the whole time, chasing them along and ribbing them along. And all they needed to do was crawl along and go, is this all right? Okay, it's a bit scary out there. And then when they got their confidence and they started to crawl along and go, I can think over there, or I can do that, and then they start to pick up a walk and go. But because we're a bit rushed and we don't have enough time, and also the other thing I'd like to say is, you know, if I walk this fast every day and I sit on a horse that walks slower than me, then that's going to feel really slow, and I'm not going to be happy with that. So And too early, we're not happy with the horse's walk, for instance. I mean, first walk them off, we're not very happy with it. So we ask them to walk faster because I'm used to horses that walk fast. So I'm going to ask that horse to walk faster. That horse goes, while I'm carrying you, I might walk fast when I'm confident out in the paddock with my mates or something. But while I'm carrying you, I don't walk very fast. I just go, I'm nervous. You're up there. What are you doing? I'm not sure about this. And every time you bump me, you bump my ribs, and my ribs are behind my head. So I might go, what's that? But they're bumping me all the time. So they don't walk very fast. And they don't walk fast until they carry the same confidence as they do when they're in their most confident situation. And that's what we've got to remember. They may not carry that confidence for a while, but once they do, then they might find a natural forward that's a lot better because they've got the confidence to think about us and what's ahead of them at the same time. So what I'm saying is it's not like their primary focus is on us all the time or their primary focus is on what's ahead all the time. It sort of bounces in between depending on what's most important at the time. So there might be something really important come up ahead and the horse goes, well, I've got to look at that. So you get more of that primary focus going towards what it's scared of. But then when you say, hey, maybe steer over here, the horse will go, oh, yeah, I've got that one. All right, I will steer over here. And in the young horses, you've got to allow them to let their primary focus get off you and look at something and really look at it and not sort of demand it back all the time. And oftentimes, we get their focus from going ahead by kicking. As soon as you kick a horse, they suck back. A kick will slow a horse down quicker than the reins will, because you pull the reins on a horse, sometimes they want to push forward. You kick a horse and they'll go, what was that back there? And they actually suck back, and you only have to sort of watch a lot of horses. And it's only until after the horse realised that kick meant go or legs meant go that the horse actually sped up. But that first squeeze up of the legs, you see a lot of horses that are a bit green or haven't been sort of educated to understand the legs so well, they'll suck back and slow up first. So whatever you're kicking them along all the time, you always have them sucking back, not just stretching out and going forward. So that's something I want, you know, everyone to think about when they're starting their horses. So when I go back to those nervous horses, I ask for energy. I let them do what they want. If they stop, I'll ask for energy again. And I just let them dribble around, just following their thoughts of wherever they want to go. And eventually they'll go, well, it's my responsibility to walk, so I'll keep walking. And I'll walk at my speed, and if my speed is still a bit slow because I'm still worried about that person up on me, then I'll just walk slow, but I know I have to walk. And I'll just keep walking until after a while I go, oh, I can carry them and walk. Okay, I'm pretty confident with that. I might walk a bit faster, and I'll walk my natural speed, which might be a bit faster. And what they'll do is they'll flick an ear to something that they want to look at over there, and then I'll flick an ear, and then they might start putting their ears the direction they're thinking. So they'll actually start to carry you like they're carrying nobody for a while and think where they're going, like think to the gate or think out there or down the paddock or something like that. And then it'll be them carrying you. Now, your job is obviously not to get them let too far away, as in their focus becomes destination, more so just direction. They can look at a destination, they can look at things in front, but you don't want to sort of get destination locked. But by trying to make them go faster too early all the time and keeping your legs on them and kicking them up, what ends up happening is they got all their focus on you, and they won't get their confidence just to sort of carry you and just relax and carry you. So that's in the young horse side of it. And now I'm going to go to sort of like the idea of using another tool from impulsion. So generally on most young horses that you start, just some pressure with your legs. So say you use your seat and your seat doesn't work, so you start using your legs. So on young horses, I don't even worry about my seat because I just sit nice and centered and just use my legs to get them to go. And once I know how to go to my legs, then I'll say, now I might use my seat and then my legs. But while I don't understand, like if I go like with my seat and I don't move, then I just go straight to the legs and don't worry about the seat, because even if they did move to my seat, I'm not going to not use the legs. So I'd actually use my legs straight away to say, I want you to learn to move off my legs. So that's something I'd go to. So when it comes to sticks or spurs, so spurs especially, spurs can, so the thing with spurs is for impulsion. I mean, I'm not talking about for people who press certain parts on their horses and different things, and they want certain things. In this subject, it's going to be just for confidence and impulsion. We may go into sort of the idea of what people use spurs for other sort of lateral work, but if we get there, but the main thing is spurs for impulsion. So there's a lot of horses that have never been left alone long enough to think for themselves. And they've been deemed a bit lazy, and say you ride in spurs. So had the person gone through the process that I said, of sitting on them and not being worried about their speed for a while until the horse got confidence and just started travelling forward, leaving them alone, so just hanging your legs there, your horse stops asking to go, then they might find that their horse actually moves quite freely, but they just weren't willing to ride it for a week, just letting it go forward, making their own decisions. And because they weren't willing to do that, their horse started to feel lazy, so they kept kicking them all the time, kicking them, and then because they were kicking them all the time and the legs never really made a change, as in every time the horse started to half think about slowing up, the person was kicking them up. So then the person was really holding the horse up and making the direction that they want the horse to go, the path of most resistance, because every time the horse would go, I'm not confident, they'd kick them. And then the horse would just end up shuffling forward to the legs, but his thoughts never actually went, I want to walk forward. So then the spurs go on, and actually, really, the spurs are just doing the same thing. They're just going, well, they're a bit firmer, though, because they, you know, the horse can't dull with the spurs easy, because you can press it into its sort of side, and it'll go, oh, well, I've got to move away from that. So then what you end up with a horse that is moving forward, it's moving forward away from pressure, and it still hasn't really learned to cast its focus and just go, yeah, primary, secondary focus, cruising along, excellent, path of least resistance, they're up there, they're doing this. What inevitably happens is the horse is going forward, going, because the spurs are keeping it forward, and the horse is sort of just running off the spurs a little bit, and if the person goes to the spurs and does that and doesn't still give the horse freedom when it moves forward and long enough freedom just to sort of get its confidence, then you might find that you might be still doing the same thing, just spurring your horse. So as soon as you take spurs off somebody or someone new buys a horse and they go back to them, they don't want to wear spurs, what happens is the horse goes, oh, I'm just dull to the legs because they don't have the spurs to keep me going, because I've actually, all through my other training, though the person with the spurs was making him move forward and a bit, you know, a bit faster off the leg, I suppose. I still haven't got the confidence to carry a person because they've always interrupted me when I needed time to think. And that's really ultimately what the legs or the spurs or anything is doing, is interrupting the horse when the horse needs time to think and just get its confidence to move forward. So, you know, I want you to think about that when you ride your horses, because I like to ride my horses as in the path that I want them to go is the path of least resistance. So I sit there quietly, just hanging my legs like wet towels, and the horse just travels along. If there's friction need to be created to change a thought in the horse to make it move forward, then the horse will have to slow down first before I ask them to speed up. Okay? So not just keep them going. So that's what I say about spurs for impulsion, is it's basically been a complete lack of confidence. So going back to say something like groundwork, when you teach your horses groundwork, and I did this, I talked about this in the last couple of talks, was when you're working your horse, you're not going to sort of look at you all the time like that, going, oh, you know, I can't look away because, you know, you're focused on you all the time and things like that, because you have the same problem. When you do your groundwork, you know, you've got to be knowing that your horse can take the feel of a rein or a rope and cast their sort of thoughts through it to go out there. And then when you send them out in front, like you're going to long rein or something like that, then you want to see the same thing, that they can think over there. And then when you take up the feel of an inside rein to turn them, you'll see their ear flick on and they'll come back around again and things like that. So it's not just about doing groundwork where the horse circles around you going, like, oh, my focus on you. Well, you know, you don't want me to look out. Okay. You don't take those ideas off the horse. You've got young horses, you've got to let them make those mistakes. And I'll say it, I might have said it in the last one, is you've got to allow a horse to make a bad decision to make a good decision. So the whole idea is we're encouraging our horses that they've got enough confidence in themselves to make decisions. So we just curve the angle of that decision, or the, you know, we put the idea in there, you know, we set up an idea so the horse takes that decision and goes, I want to do that, or I want to do that. Otherwise, we'll just be controlling them and running away from pressure. And that's why I go back to the spurs, as in you're either kicking them forward like this to say, keep going forward, or you give them time to make a decision. So in the groundwork, when you see a horse go, what are those horses doing, leave, sometimes it's not a bad opportunity to say, you go and leave, it's okay. When you get to the end of the rope, I'll show you when the end of the rope's the end of the rope, you'll see the field pick up and I might curve you off somewhere else. But allowing them to make those decisions in the early stages, because you set up an idea before they made that decision to leave, you might have said go to energy and they went, oh, energy, or I might go to my mates. You let them go there for a little bit until you get to the end of the rope or halfway down the rope where you say, now let's turn across here. You don't just say, don't go to your mates, keep your focus on me, because that'd be the same as riding them and saying, oh, don't go forward and don't put your ears forward and look at something. So you can sometimes trap them in your groundwork before you even get on and ride them by over-managing their focus with you and things like that, because the whole idea is you get this soft, calm focus that operates as in they can still think where they're going and tune into you. And as I said before, depending on how important the matter is depending what focus they've got on you, whether it's primary or secondary focus, but they're tuning in the whole way. But sometimes you've got to let them tune out first and go somewhere to go, it was okay to do that. Because when you ask them for energy under saddle, that's what you want. And some of these horses that I come across that have been sort of drilled when they're young to be super obedient, but they don't like it, eventually they crack and they start to either blow up, they either start to, you know, like in Jenny's case, start to bite and attack people and then just shut down so they won't go at all, or just suck to the yards and things like that. So eventually, because they're so unhappy and obedient, they just suddenly, you know, the wheels eventually fall off and they finally sort of, you know, start quitting on people and becoming more defiant because they've had all their sort of, you know. And I say this to a lot of people, if you want to ride a horse that's like a robot and doesn't make decisions, then maybe just sell the horse and buy a motorbike or a car or, you know, something that's going to give you more enjoyment. Because we are riding a brain that's attached to feet, not just feet that we own. So it is a conversation and it is an agreement where we have to make them feel better about what they do. So they do things as a horse would do things, not as a robot would do things. Because, you know, why would I ride a horse if I want something that doesn't think? I would go to a robot or, you know, a mechanical thing that I have complete control over. And yeah, so anyway, getting off subject. So what I want you to think about is give them responsibility, let them go with it. They will find forward, they will start to go forward if you just give them a bit of time. So using aids, sometimes I encourage people, so you know, sometimes you learn, and this went back, there was a talk I did a while ago that this will go back over that talk a little bit, is you know, you use your seat and then you use your legs, you use your heels, and that doesn't work. So you pretty quickly go to a stick or a spur, okay? Now, the people who know me, there's a few horses that I've given the people a stick to, but I'm really reluctant at most clinics to give anyone a stick because their horse is being lazy. Purely because, firstly, I want to teach the people to understand why their horse is dropping out on them, why they're slowing down, why they're not moving forward, and I really want to nut out the problem. And then I'd like to teach people how can we use the steering wheel to get the energy better. And what I mean by that is some horses are stuck with their thoughts at the yard. They can't cast their focus because they don't have a lot of confidence. There's so many reasons why they get stuck and they won't go forward. So opposed to just saying, okay, level one, level two, level three. Oh, now we need to stick because your horse didn't listen to the squeeze. So we just get him responsive off the leg. I say, you know, your horse has been ridden for this many years. Why is it not responsive off your leg? Why does it pig root when you kick it? Why does it do this when you kick it? And I say kick, but what I mean, you know, like a bump or a squeeze or anything like that. And sometimes you have to firm the bumps up. And sometimes I will say to someone, you know, firm the bump up, maybe stick to your legs before you even think about having a stick. Because I think people go to the stick too early. The legs never, ever get fixed. As in, if the horse doesn't move off the leg, then people get it with a stick. And the stick ends up chasing them from behind and hunting them up. And then basically, sometimes the leg just means anticipation of a stick. So, yeah, the horse rushes forward a bit, but it's you still don't have the quality control over the leg, I guess what I mean is. You know, like at the last clinic, I had a lady and she'd probably done the same thing. She'd sort of legs, stick. So the horse got real responsive off the legs, but she never used the legs enough to get the horse to have a real smooth accelerator. So you can put this much squeeze and you get this much response. You get this much squeeze, you get this much response. It was sort of like you get this much squeeze and you get trot out. Now, so my job with her was... And a lot of people, I'll give you an example. It's just my son coming around to check me out. Actually, you may notice my nice cone here. I had the two kids and I was like, felt like the Anchorman, where there's one on each side with a cone, trying to make sure it's right, because I come in a bit dusty and rough looking for the podcasting. So, yeah, anyway, that was their little fun entertainment for the night. So if you just go straight to a stick, then sometimes the legs just mean anticipation for a stick. So the horse sort of runs away because it knows that the stick, because the stick is probably scarier than the leg. And it's easy to do that. And you do get a response. But if you don't get a response, you get a horse that pig roots to the stick, because that's, you know, if the horse doesn't like the legs, then the stick's going to be even worse because you're tapping it back here at the rump or something like that to get him to go forward. And it could be worse. So also the other thing, as I like to say, is a lot of people, you know, think, I want to ride this fast and I want my horse to go faster. So my horse is not going as fast as I want, so I'm going to kick it and then it doesn't work, so I'm going to use a stick. So a lot of people, I just say, well, how about you go slower than your horse goes? And they go, you know, because we don't sort of tend to stick like that. But if we go a lot slower than our horse is used to going, then one, it's going slower so I can take in everything. So if it's a confidence issue, it's going slower. So if the horse, you know, I don't know if this is going to work. Anyway, I'm going to draw a mountain. Well, it's not really a mountain. The pen's not working. Find another pen. I'll probably find another one that doesn't work. Okay, no, two that don't work. I'm going good tonight. Now, number three pen. Now, this one looks pretty fancy. And it half works. Did everyone see that? Maybe I should use a dark pen, like a text pen. I will use a text pen. Sorry, everybody. That's not a texter. This looks like one of the kids' pens. That'll work. No, that one doesn't work either. I'll use a highlighter. That'll work. Highlighters always work. Might have to use some pink paper though, some yellow paper. All right, here we go. I'll do it differently. Now, can everybody see that? It looks like a mountain, sort of, not really, not an Australian mountain, but a mountain in those places where they're pointy. So just about, all right. Mm-hmm. Now say that part of the mountain just there, okay? Imagine that was the horse's walk. So that's as fast as that horse, that's as high as that horse could go in the walk. So that mountain there is, you know, that's the walk it's got. And that's the walk you don't like, because your walk's probably, whoop, I'm off track because it's funny up here. Yeah, that's your walk up there. So, but actually, there's all this part of the mountain down here, whoop, over there, So here, up to here, yeah? Sorry, it's back to front. It's because the screen's back to front. It's like going opposite to what I'm doing. So you've got that section underneath the mountain. So if you can sort of picture that in your head, and that's what I sort of picture when I see a horse walking, as I see that picture of a horse going, whew, this is as high as I can climb. Any higher, I can't think about things. And if a kangaroo jumps out, I'm going to explode because it's no good. I'm frightened. Well, that's one reason. The other reason is I've never really climbed higher than this before. And what the person's doing is the person's saying, come on, walk faster, please walk faster. Come on, use a stick or stick or spurs or spurs or spurs. And they don't have any transition in the walk because the horse is like, I'm going as high as I can go. There's no more mountain above that. I can't climb any higher. You may as well chuck me in the sky. Okay. So really it's hard to get that horse to go any faster. So what I would say is, well, why don't you just take your horse to the bottom of the mountain? And the bottom of the mountain might be a crawl where the horse just crawls really slowly, just like this. And it's hard for the horse to crawl. Some horses may get to, that's it, that mountain there, and they might want to stop, okay, because that's the bottom of the mountain, yeah? That one there, that's the bottom of the mountain, okay? And they might stop. But just above the bottom of the mountain, just here, okay, is a crawling walk. Now, in between here and this one up there, there's room for transition. So you bring them back down slower than they usually go, and they go, oh, I'm walking slower than I usually go. I usually walk this fast. And then you say, go. And they'll go, I'm walking faster. And they get to their top of the mountain and they go, Now, it might not be your walk, but you brought them below what they could do to get them to move off your leg to go faster. So, and I think people don't spend the time, they tend to go to a stick or a spur or something because they want to walk to the top of the mountain, but the horse has never ventured up there and they never even walk faster than a normal walk. So, but all the person really wants is to improve the accelerator. That's all we're saying is the horse is dull to our legs. Is he dull or can he just not walk any higher? So if you bring him back down to the bottom of the mountain then and ask him, what's he going to do? He's going to walk up the mountain a bit to where he used to. And you will get a transition off the leg because you've taken him from something you're taking him back to something he likes or he knows. And you're taking him away from his normal walk to bring him back up to it. So you might find that he'll respond to the leg a lot better. And instead of saying, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up all the time, your horse is too slow, just take him back slow and say, go back to what you used to. Take him back slow, go back to what you used to. And but the taking back of the horse regains connection to it. If it's a horse that's, you know, disappears a little bit or and then when they're listening, they listen to your legs and they go, I'll go back to what I was doing. Okay, and sure enough, what tends to happen, naturally tends to happen, and most horses that I've sort of helped with, they go past their walk, and they end up, as they're going up the ramp, it's almost like pushing a billy cart up a ramp. You just keep pushing that billy cart up, and then you get a run up, and you get a bit higher. So what ends up happening is you get up to the top of the mountain, and then the horse gets a walk up here that's not used to, but it got up there through just the momentum it gained through you saying, come back here, move off my legs. And it goes past this walk because actually while you're doing that, you're building confidence in moving forward off the legs just to your speed, just to the horse's speed, I mean, until it went, I can go faster. Instead of going, you're at your speed, going to my speed, which is faster than that. And that's in the walk. And then once you get that ramp happening real nice, then the ramp just goes into trot and things like that. So that's something to get people to think about far before I'd ever think about saying, hey, your horse is lazy, get a stick. I'd say, is your horse lazy or just doesn't not understand the accelerator? And maybe you can take it away from something that's used to behind it and then just take it back to what it's used to. So that's one way of looking at getting the accelerator better. And as I said before, the steering wheel. So my horse is lazy because it's constantly sucked to the yards. lacks confidence with me, so it wants to be with the other horses all the time, so it doesn't have motivation, it's frightened of me, so it's stuck on me like this. All those reasons stop horses from moving forwards. So you get sensitive horses that are dull, or so-called dull, because they've got too much information going on and they just can't go fast while the information's there, and you just got to give them that time. Then you've got the horses that, you know, still have confidence, but they're a bit duller, so they seem duller because, you know, like a cold-blooded horse, but you don't have to push them fast as you want to go. You just got to bring them back and improve the accelerator. So that one there is just bring them back and improve the accelerator. And as I say, the biggest thing is leave your horse alone when they're doing what they're doing. Leave it be the path of least resistance. Let them move. Let them just flow. And if they make a decision to slow down and stop, let's go again. Okay. Some horses that won't move forward, maybe I'll back them up. So if my horse has got in the habit of going and just not moving, and you can kick it, and it won't move. Instead of just kicking it and getting claws or a rope and flogging it till it goes forward, or spurs or anything like that, I tend to go to the reins and say, okay, you stopped, I'm going to back you through. And the backing gets the horse thinking about you. So it might jib. For instance, okay, I'll give you an example. Best thing I can probably do is, you know, I've got a horse that I've been helping with, a lady, and she's been on our subscription. She's a little Arab horse, and she doesn't jib much anymore, because she feels a lot better in herself. Like, that's one thing I'll say, is we got that mare feeling a lot better about being around a person and their ideas, that the idea of going away from where she's stuck is starting to disappear without necessarily having to work on it. But when we were working one day, particularly on trotting, the horse had come around the corner and there's jib right there. So jib had sucked back and go, you're going to kick me and you're going to make me trot and I want to stay at the gate. So instead of making it stay at the gate and hard there and easy somewhere else, I said, well, when every time your horse, because the horse would jib somewhere else too, just more often at the gate. So instead of getting firmer and kicking harder and getting a bigger gun, I just said, don't do anything. When she jibs, let her walk, maybe just give her a turn. When the thoughts come off the jib, because the thought will change. See, the horse will go, you're about to kick me, because that's what she got used to. You're about to kick me. So she'd brace for the kick and say, I want to stop here, but I'm also going to brace for the kick, because every time I've slowed down, you've kicked me. So I'm slowing down because I want to be at the gate, or I don't want to go out there, and I'm going to be kicked. So I'm going to brace for it, and I'm going to really suck back and jib. Okay. So then I said, well, just don't kick her. So the mare slowed down for the gate. She went, you're going to kick me. What happened? You didn't kick me. So then I just got the lady to steer the horse and just trot her out. So when the lady put the legs on the horse trotted out, because the thought of stopping and jibbing had disappeared, because the person didn't kick. And the mare went, oh, that surprised me. Oh, that's all right. And just taking up a rein and resetting that horse's brain helped that horse get off the idea of jibbing, and then we just trot it off again. So something I want to work on is, you know, with people is, do you really need to kick too? So like another thing is, we tend to want to kick our horses out and kick them out in a straight line, and then so we have to use spurs and whip because they're lazy. As I say, that's a steering problem. All those things where horses, you know, in America, I think you call it barn sour or something like, I think it's barn sour anyway. We call it, I don't know, just either. Well, I just call it like a separation anxiety. I separated from the part, the place that the horse feels better at, I suppose. So if that's in their mind, then they're not going to move forward. So you take that away through the steering wheel, not necessarily through the legs. So if a horse is moving out this direction and that doesn't want to go that way, it's going to want to keep doing that. But the interesting thing is you don't have to kick it to get it to go that way. And I call it, well, we started calling it the last few clinics tacking, because I was trying to think about sailing. Not that I'm a sailor, but I know if you're a good sailor, I guess you could just about go against the wind by using the wind and deflecting the wind to get your boat to do this. Okay, like that. And I I guess you could keep going that direction, even though the wind was blowing this way, by deflecting the wind in a way that makes you go like that. So if you go straight towards the wind, you're just going to want to push back, and then you've got to get the big motors and waste all that diesel. If you had a sailing boat with a motor, you'd have to waste all that diesel getting it to push that way. So if you ask your horse to move and it wants to go this way, let it go that way. Because that, allowing that to happen, will actually let the horse keep moving. You don't have to touch it with your legs because it'll just go, I'm allowed to go my way. Excellent. And then when it gets there, you just steer it. And they'll go, oh, I'm allowed to go my way. And then you just steer it there. And then what happens? It goes, oh, I can't go that way. I can't go that way. I'll go this way. But a lot of times we go, I want you to go on my line. I want you to go on my line. I want you to go on my line. And the horse goes, and then the legs get dull. And you think my horse got dull in the ribs? Or use it's the natural magnet to keep momentum going. So going back to helping the horse with your legs and getting confidence with your legs and not needing to go to spurs and things like that, maybe if your horse is going this way and you're using that idea of a magnet to keep energy, okay? Something I might do is if it was a horse that started to, you know, the person was riding it for a while and it was getting dull in the legs, instead of saying, I want a forward transition here, I'd always ask for a forward transition here because the horse is going to go, woo, really fast. So I would actually take my horse out, turn it for home and say, trot. And turn around, trot, turn around, trot, turn around, trot. And then after 10 turnarounds and trots, I've had 10 transitions to the legs that worked. If I chose to kick the horse that way, then I'd have one transition that half worked, one where the horse jibbed, and really not many good transitions. So as far as I see, like, you know, sometimes what I see in training is if you ask something 100 times and it works and only 2 times it didn't work, then you've got to be 100 more times better than if the horse didn't do something 50 times and did something 50 times. So by allowing the horse to go towards its decision, one, you're building confidence because you say, you can go towards your thoughts. And the horse goes, oh, ripper. I'll move off your leg because I'm going to where I want to go. So the horse learns, one, to move off your leg. Two, it moves forward freely and goes, I can go towards my thoughts for a little bit. If you really want to change their thoughts, you don't want the thoughts stuck at home, then you can just bounce them when they get there. And then tack them like that on the way out. Doing, doing, doing. And then they'll go, oh, I'll just walk this way. And they will. They'll just hook onto a new direction and walk out. And then when your horse has done that a few times, then you can say, oh, now you've hooked onto a new direction. Would you like to trot towards your thoughts or something like that? You know, so going back to the whole stick spur scenario, I would rather people be more creative with the idea of the steering wheel, the reins, and building their horse's confidence than go to bigger guns and just blame their horse for being lazy. Because it's just the thoughts stuck somewhere, and you can really steer that out of them a lot better with the reins and the steering than you can by just kicking them forward. So going back to sort of how many people do I give a stick to at clinics, it's like very, very rare. Like in the last, you know, one of the ladies, Jenny, that's on here at the moment, I've allowed her to have a little tappy stick just to make that sort of sound on a horse to make him go, okay, oh, that's right, because he's been so desensitized over his life, desensitized and worked and shut down and unhappy and all this, that he can block out the things. So we found one little thing that makes him go, open his eyes, and he goes, okay, that's right, she wants me to move. So she's been using that, and it keeps her a little bit quieter in the legs because when she didn't have that, she'd get too, you know, there'd be too much need to be very energetic, and it was just too much, and the horse would just go, oh, just go like this thing. So we had to be a little bit quick and effective with that. But, you know, it's not like, oh, every time I see a horse not responding off the legs, I'm saying, okay, seat, leg, stick, or, you know, spurs or anything. It's more so we work harder on being better horse people to understand why and what's stopping our horses. So I'd like everyone to think about that. And has anyone got any questions right now while I've that might even spur me to sort of think of any more things on that, or anyone that's been to clinics who's got some ideas that would be a good... Oh, there's certainly... Hang on a minute. Just hold on, guys. I'm going to try and drive the computer for a little bit. Wow, there you go. I didn't realize that. I can scroll down and see the comments. I thought they just keep popping up. So, here we go. There's a few questions down there. Lucky I scrolled down, otherwise I would have missed them. First, Deborah Marvin. How do you ask for the energy? I try not to use a stick or legs, but I get nothing. If I just sit, add flies and heat, it makes it worse. I ask for the legs, Deborah. So seat, you know, in the early stages of training, and now that I've got a bit of an idea of your horse, I do ask with the legs. So now, basically, when you ask a young horse to move forwards, you create a stimulant that inevitably it is an uncomfortable stimulant, because the horse is like, oh, something's happening, I might move. Okay, in your groundwork, you've got to set up some ideas that tell your horse that if I stimulate somewhere, that means movement. So you might say, if I bump you near the ears and just go tap, 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 it means movement, okay? So, you know, on a horse that you sit on, if you move your seat and nothing happens, then that's why earlier on I said, don't move your seat, just use a stimulant that gets the horse to want to shift, and then it shifts and it goes, oh, that means move. The movement may take a while before the horse even thinks about casting its thoughts anywhere, but it'll just make the horse want to shift. And then every time the horse stops again, you ask for movement, and you give it, you just sit on it till it stops again. And then you say, now move. And then after a while, the horse goes, oh, you want me to keep going? Okay, I'll keep going, regardless of how slow it is. If you're on a horse that you went bumpity, 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 bump, and nothing happened, and you went bumpity, bumpity, bump with your legs and nothing happens, you're like, oh, crocky, this horse is really, really, you know, not listening. Maybe you could go bumpity, bump, bumpity, bump, and the horse goes, if you don't see it searching and you go harder and it's not searching, then you go, okay, well, it's not searching. So maybe I might just back my horse up, just reset it with the left rein or right rein, and use the reins, because it's going to draw on those reins and back up a little bit. And if you've taught them a lot of backups on the ground, you'll be able to draw on that backup. You might just reset them a bit, and you go bumpity, bumpity, bump. If the horse just bogs down and you see it just blocking out a bit, you just back up, and you just go bumpity, bumpity, bump, until the horse goes, every time I block out, then they back me up, and they take me out and make me think again. So maybe I'll just move off that pressure. Because sometimes if you've got a horse that really... you know, blocks out, you go wumpy bang with a stick, and then next minute you've got them 1 minute blocking out to the legs, and next minute you've got them going buckety buckety buckety, rear back run, jump the fence and take off. So you do have to be very careful. So use your legs, but as long as you, now some horses, some people might say, do you bump, do you squeeze, you do this. Some horses I can just transfer energy down, squeeze like a bit of toothpaste or something like that, like a tube of toothpaste, and they move. Some horses respond to a bit of a wiggly bump that's a bit loose, and you loosen your ankles. Don't firm your ankles and kick in their ribs like that. Just firm and wriggle and just bump, 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 and stimulate that bit of a rhythmy bump, and they just go, oh, just wriggle off that, and they get some going to start with. So Beth, great to hear. Recently I have bought my STB standard bred, I think that means, 7-year-old mare back into work, and have been asking her to show me where she is at. We haven't done anything but walking and standing. Good. That's good. At some stage, if you want to improve and go to trot, think about doing different walks. And as I showed you the hill, the mountain, she's probably got her walk, and take her below her walk, and then climb it back up to her walk. And then soon you'll have her moving forward off your legs in the walk, and come back and move forward off your legs in the walk, and soon enough she'll go, oh, legs mean move forward, and then she'll soon move past her walk, and then you build her up to the trot. And when you do get to trotting her and you want to see what she knows, instead of just going, I want trot now, because also going back to that mountain is, when you ask a horse to come back down the mountain and you ask them up, as I said before, like that billy cart, they roll up further every time. Now, a lot of horses that, you know, throw their head in transitions and get like this, I just roll them up the hill, roll them back, roll them up the hill at the walk until I know they want to trot. not I want them to trot and I'm going to make them trot. No, I know that they're thinking it. And you know, if you, I don't care how many horses you've ridden and if you're a guru or not a guru or whatever you, you know, you think you are, or if you sit on a horse and you think hard enough about your horse, you know when they want to do the next thing, or you know when they want to slow down, you know when they're listening, okay? Sometimes we don't think about it and we think we don't know, but we do. And I encourage everybody to try and think about that, because you will know. So when you get, all you're doing is saying up the hill and you get faster walk, excellent, back down, faster walk, back down the hill, until all of a sudden you go, the horse goes, you know what? I'm thinking trot. And then when your horse thinks trot, its feet haven't even trotted, but you'll know when it thinks it because you'll feel it ready to break into that two beat. And as soon as it thinks trot, you just release. And then what happens, the horse will go, oh, I think trot, I might trot, but the pressure comes off not before the transition of trot. It as soon as the thought goes, your pressure comes off, yeah? And that really helps a bit later on if you don't want to blow up and run off and canter off in the trotters. Just build the walk until, you know, pushing up dirt in a dam. All if everyone's dug a dam with a bulldozer, just keep pushing up and going back and pushing up. And the wall gets higher and higher and higher to this big, big wall. And that's what you do in the walk until one time the horse gets to the fastest walk it can do before it breaks trot. And then it'll go, well, I can't go any faster in the walk, but I'd like to trot. And when they say they'd like to, you release and let them go, not get up and trot. So you actually take your legs off when the horse trots, not put them on when they trot. Anyway, that's got off a bit off, but I hope that helps. Now, I'm trying to press something, but it's not pressing. I've got more comments, but my computer's gone a bit funny. Now I'll do this one. No. Oh, there we go. Nearly lost it. One day. Oh. I get frustrated with computers, not so much with horses, but frustrated with computers because I want to move it down, but I can't. Karen, I'm trying to get your one, but I keep going, it goes too high for me. Excellent. That's right, that wasn't a question, so it doesn't matter. This would explain freezing in new situations. Yes, it would. Freezing in new situations is we're asking our horses to do stuff and they need time to think, so we've got to let them think. Oh, that's good, Jenny. You need to stick less and less. That's great. Once your horse knows, see, with Jenny, who just made the comment with a little smiley face, with her horse, what I will say was that we use going outside also to help that horse free up in its mind. And he does like going and thinking. He likes thinking for himself. He enjoys it. Instead of just being a robot, he enjoys making decisions and thinking and having something to look at and do. So hence why now that legs are starting to mean, oh, it's a good idea, not a bad idea. And that's why Jenny's probably going to need the stick a lot less, because the legs are the road to him making a decision, not him just being obedient. So I think that's why the legs are going to improve more and more, that you don't need the stick just to wake him up. But yeah, so, and the whole idea, so I'm going to try and drive down the computer a little bit. Just, it's got a real sensitive spot here that doesn't want to click. There we go, got it. Yeah, Deborah, what if the... What if the grass was to move? You know what? When I was a kid, I used to get on the horses out in the back paddock, and I used to put a bit of hay on the end of the stick, and I tried it for a while, so that's a really good idea. And it worked. I just got the hay and put it, you know, like on the end of it, like a stick, or you could do it on a fishing rod or something like that, and you just move the stick around, and the horse follows it, and then you move the stick further away and try to make it go faster. But the thing is every now and again, you've got to give it a bit of hay, because after a while, it'll stop chasing it if it can't catch it. But that works, you know, you could try it, I guess. And Yeah, it'd be certainly very positive reinforcement in that sense. I found my horse, Karen, my horse has been afraid of getting the saddle on. Yeah, Karen, I looked at your first video today. I'm probably going to send you an email on that because the first video is definitely going to be stuff that I can just talk to you about. And I'm going to watch the riding one. I've just been a bit busy with some jobs that have come up. But yeah, I watched your video about the saddling, and your horse just needs, you just got to move with him. So don't have him tied up to the gate. Just move with him and walk with him with the saddle. And what will happen is, you know, it's a little bit like, you know, some of the common ways of desensitizing, move until the horse stops. But you'll probably work on more his tension. So when you're moving him with the saddle, he might move straight away, but you just might move with him and hold your saddle on your arm like that. And when he relaxes, just step away a little bit, let him relax. So reward the stand opposed to moving away. But at the same time, so you're not just sort of rewarding the foot stand, just so that's why you don't have him tied up on the gate. I know some of you had him on the gate. Have him in your hand, walk with him with the saddle and let him move around a little bit. And then when you see him sort of trying to find a stand, or what you can do is let him move for a little bit until he goes, oh, this movement's, you know, moving and I'm moving, and you're staying there. Then you can ask him to stand. When he stands with the rein, then just stop, step back, and reward the stand. And then also reward the release of tension. And, you know, if he looks like he gets a bit worried walking up with the saddle, then just be careful that you step back to the tension and or step in, see him tense up a bit, and when he releases that tension, step back, just follow him around a bit. Oh, that's good, Karen, that's good that you've got that. I'm just reading a bit more. Yeah, most definitely. Horses need a fair bit of time just to take themselves out. There's a couple of videos on the that I've got that about, you know, horses just bouncing their way out. And I think I took one recently that I'll probably have to go when we go through the videos of using that you know, crossing like this just to get a horse to cast its focus and go. And Jenny and a few others that have been to clinics have sort of with their horses that are really stuck to home, we've used that quite a lot until the horse just hooks onto that new idea and takes you out into the paddock, and they're much more prepared for the scary things, and they won't freeze. Oh, well, they'll still freeze, but they will be more observant and probably less spooky. Oh, that's good. Excellent. That's good, Deborah. Okay, everybody. There's probably things that I've missed, but I hope that makes sense for you all now. And I didn't even go into the subject of AIDS, and I'll give you sort of just a hint on it, but the AIDS of, when I really started to understand reins, I needed those artificial AIDS a lot less, you know, moving the hindquarters. So I was talking more about impulsion and energy opposed to, you know, people who want to move their hips across, or, you know, move the shoulders out or things like that. But even now, like, I get my horses to operate all their movement through the reins first, and then you don't need those artificial aids, you know, to, you know, move them across because they felt heavy in the sides. But that's a sort of another subject, which I was more so concerned about, just the sort of impulsion issue and the lack of confidence. But thanks, everybody, for joining me tonight. And by the way, I'm just trying to think out on Wednesday and Thursday, sorry, Thursday and Friday next week, I'll be at Equitana. I've got two demonstrations at Equitana. So if anyone's going to Equitana, I'd love to see you. Their demonstrations are at 3:15 in the afternoon, 45-minute demonstrations. One is reducing tension in their horses, and I think the other one is how to, what is it, Jenny? How to get a happier horse? You know, so ways to improve how your horse feels about being worked. So obviously they're a cross-linked one, as in they'll you know, how to reduce tension is also a similar subject, but I've got a horse that I'll be learning for that. And, yeah, so thanks, everybody. I'll see you next month, and, yeah, enjoy the rest of the month. Bye. Didn't